All right, so we're on Yitzayin Amud Beis. My, how we move. So the Gemara here talks about something which we encountered briefly earlier. So a suffix of Rava. The suffix is with respect to Tzuros, but what we're really interested in is the proof that the Gemara brings for it. So Rava says, Darsa al kli velo shivraso. So an animal tramples on top of a kli without breaking it. And then v'nisgalgal makam acher v'nishbar. The kli rolls to another location, so it rolls down the block and it breaks. What's the halacha? So you'll recall that if the animal's mazik something begufo, that's regel. And how much do you pay if it's mazik begufo?
Regel?
Yeah, regel for a standard case. Or your chayev nezek shalim. So if it destroys the kli begufo, your chayev nezek shalim. If it's a case of tsuros, where the animal kicks a rock into it, you pay only chatzi nezek. So the case here is where the animal tramples on a kli. It doesn't break upon contact. It rolls a few meters, and only then does it break. But it breaks because of the force that was imparted to it from the animal. So mahu, basar meikara az linan vigufehu. So do we go basar meikara? Do we care about the initial contact with the animal, in which case it's regel, and yuchayev nezek shalim? Or maybe we care about the result, the moment when the kli breaks. At the moment that the kli broke, it was no longer in contact with the guf ha-behemah, so maybe it's like tsuros. Right? It's as if, instead of the animal kicking a rock into it, it kicked it into a rock, but that should be a kind of a tsuros, because it's one degree removed from nezek beguf ha-behemah. So the Gemara Safek is, we say, basar manar tavar azlinan, basar tavar mana azlinan, or basar meikara azlinan. Is everybody good with this suffix in the Gemara? Yeah? Shlomo, are you good with the suffix in the Gemara? Good. So the Gemara is a tifshe lemi de Rabba. Let's answer the question. We could solve the suffix from Rabba's position. Dama Rabba, zara kli mi rosh agag, ba acher v'shavar b'makol. So Jonah throws a kli off the roof, and then Isaac comes and smashes it with a bat before it hits the ground. So Gemara says, Pater. Everybody seems to agree this means that Isaac is Pater. Damrinan le mana tvira tavar. When Isaac swung the bat at the kli, it was already a broken kli. And so we can extract from here, it seems, basar meikar azlinan, from the fact that Isaac is Pater. Right, you see, we don't care about the actual breaking of the kli. Instead, it sounds like we care about the wrongful act of tossing it off the roof. Basar meikar azlina. So the Gemara seems to, at least according to Rabba, the Gemara says we could postulate the suffix. And the Gemara says, L'Rabba pshitale l'Rabba mibayle. Rabba still had the question, but Rabba clearly paskin basar meikar azlina. Sounds good?
But no one thinks this like in the fall to an extreme extent, right? Like no one thinks that I throw something off a roof and magically it doesn't break, I'm still chayev.
You're saying that you could be chayev for
Maisa Shira that doesn't actually break.
It's an interesting question, because I think in that case we would just say, well, pick up your kli, Mr. Nizak.
So you'd say like make our dinner, you should be chayev.
Yeah, it's just like to pay for it. Right. That's the pshat that I think is true for all Poshia Kimaza cases.
So we don't
give you Malkus for the Isser.
There's a way to, because you can usually pay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it does sound, you want to know if you have to clap a little al-chid or something. Sounds like that's, that would be in order here.
Okay.
So the first question I want to ask is, what's the suffix about? What's the suffix of basar meikara or basar tavar mana azlina? What does that turn on? Jonah, what do you think? The Gemara asked the question, the Gemara doesn't tell us on what it's based.
But what would you say?
Can we assume the outcome?
So it's just a question of probabilities, like, you know, how skeptical are we about the result obtaining?
Like what if a trampoline magically appears?
It's like chashinan, yeah. You know, or lo
chashinan. Yeah. That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, but you might just say then it should actually depend on the probabilities, right? It ain't broke until it broke kind of thing, and then, you know, just figure it out based off the case. Shlomo, what do you think? Between, I don't know, you tell me. Between, the Gemara seemed to at least throw it out as a suffix. I don't know which one's more intuitive to you, that the guy who actually breaks it should be liable, or the guy who throws it off the roof should be liable.
We care more about the action than the outcome, and we care more about incentivizing or disincentivizing actions. But we focus more on the outcome, and there's some sense of like justice or just theory that's at play here. That's saying like, oh, what really matters is just the fact that the person who like factually deprived you of something is the one that prepares it. Yeah.
So what do you mean?
So I'm saying if we care about the person who took an action that the kara would have been damaging, irrespective of what the outcome is, then all we're saying is in general, the point of these dinim is to ensure that people don't take actions that should lead to damage, even when they don't lead to damage.
But couldn't you say that also about the bat swinger, who's the basar tvir asmana, right? We'd want to deter him from swinging bats.
But if everyone in the world swung a bat at something falling off the roof, but at the same time everyone in the world would be not to throw stuff off the roof,
there wouldn't be anything to swing at.
We wouldn't be so concerned about the guy swinging his bat at stuff falling off the roof.
It's an interesting point. Although I don't know if it's always, I don't know if every conceptually analogous case will be factually analogous to the roof throwing.
That may be true, but nonetheless, any case of mana, the tzvira tavra should still have some sort of primary cause that comes before the second actor. So if the point is the incentive system, then obviously we should always be trying to have primary causes. Even if it's true, there still is problems to the secondary cause.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's an interesting analysis. Isaac, what do you think of it?
I guess my initial thought is that like if we're going for like a rights based like system, so like whoever like breaches the rights, like the first person that like acts on the property, as if we're going for like a some sort of more economic thing, then like you might, I mean I guess it's more open, but you could at least see and focusing on the
like, actual breaking,
actual law.
Kind of like the opposite of
thing. Do you mean like economic incentives, or do you mean like just something that's not rights based? Some form of
something that's not rights based.
Okay, but that's distinct from like the utilitarian type of social incentive structure that we discussed.
I would have said something in between. I would have said that, I'd agree with Isaac on the first half, that it seems that if you focus on wrong, on the wrongful act of. So if you focus on just like breaching your duty to somebody, then there's a wrongful act of throwing the kli off the roof, regardless of the outcomes, right? So it's wrong to take somebody's kli and put it in a position where it could easily be destroyed, right? Like throwing it off the roof is that paradigmatic example. So if you want to talk about poshea kimazik as a mechayev, it seems uncontroversial that the zorek on the rooftop was poshea, right? I mean, what doesn't that seem right? He exposes the kli to a certain degree of risk. It's projected to break. And so he's a wrongdoer, and he's a mazik in that sense. Does that sound right to you guys? That would be basar meikar azlinan. But if you focus on basar tavar mane, so what you really care about is just the physical cause, right? Who is the person who actually broke the kli? So I think that's consistent with still being like a rights-based view. The question is, what's the relevant violation of the right? Is the violation subjecting the kli to a certain degree of risk, or acting wrongfully towards someone's kli? Or is the rights violation just physical breaking of it? You guys see that? Isaac, does that sound reasonable to you? So it's not. I don't think you have to contrast it between like a rights-based view of basar meikara and an economic view of basar manatavar. I think they could both be rights-based views, just different emphases within the rights-based view. Is it the pshia that's the mechayev, in which case it's throwing it off the roof? Or is it the actual causation of the breaking, which is the manatabar? That makes a lot of sense here. So if you look at Rashi, so we'll get into this in a second. So if you look at Rashi on Yedzayin Mabes, Rashi has the Rashi thinks the Gemara is paskening basar meikaras linan. So you can see Rashi here writes Yedzayin Mabes pater hamishabro v'chayiv hazorik. Notice the Gemara never said that the zorik is chayiv. It's going to become important in a minute. The Gemara just said tifshaleib mi deraba damar rabba zorik klimirosh agagabo acher v'shaber b'makol pater. The Gemara only said the second guy's pater. So Rashi says we can infer that the zorik is chayiv. Alma basar mei karaz linan v'hoil v'sofo lishaver l'kishe yanuach kimisha shavro hu dami. Right, since it's projected to break when it lands, it's as if the person who threw it off the kli is the one who broke it. Right, so I take that to mean that since he did an action which was sufficient to cause the breaking, so it's as if he broke it already. So that means that this kind of rights-based analysis of Hosea is sufficient to get you from the fact that you did an action that was Peshia enough to be Mazik, so it's Kimazik Dami. Okay? So Rashi, if you said Rashi is clearly passing the Gemara, Basar Meikar as Linan. Seems very clear in Rashi. How about the Rush in Baba Kama Perek Beisim and Tazayin? Again, De Kivan De Bivada Yishaver Chashiv Kishavor Mishas Zrika V'chayiv Hazorko V'ameshaber Pater. So why is the Zorik Chayiv? Because it's already Chashiv Kishavor Mishas Zrika. He broke it by throwing it off the roof. Why is the Mishaber Pater? According to the Rush? Yeah, Manatvira Tava, right? I mean, so he didn't break any. He didn't break anything. Now, do you think that's plausible that the second guy should be putter because of Manatvira Tavar? I mean, it's one thing to say that the first guy did an action that was sufficient to cause the nezek, so he was poshe, he should be liable. But why should that come at the exclusion of liability for the guy who also physically broke it? Right, maybe they should both be chayiv. Right? So, I mean, it sounds like the Rush is trying to say that because it's shavar mishas zrika, it's literally a mana tvira tavar, it's already a broken kli, so there's nothing to be machayiv him for. So the question is, how do you parse that out? How do you understand the patur of the sheni? Isaac, what do you think? So, first guy was poshea by throwing it off the roof. Second guy broke it by swinging a bat at it. So, how did the second guy get off the hook?
So, you're trying to point out that, like, you're committed to some sort of, like, counterfactual causation? Like, understanding of the movement?
Yeah, so you could say that. Meaning that you're not the cause if there's a preempted cause. So, you could say something like that. You could say something a little weaker also and just say that by the time that you acted on it, the thing had no value because it's already considered to be broken. So it's not that you're not a mazik. You are a mazik, but the value of your contribution to the nezek is zero because it's all front-loaded into the first person's maisa nezek. So you don't have to go as strong as we don't have to go as strong into your position. Mm-hmm. Jonah.
I also see, like, a sheet of, because of the force of your question, like, saying that it's maybe a case of Elaik Elishlum and Ahai Shlum and Ahai.
Yeah. Right. Be able to.
Yeah, okay, fine. The first guy really is on the hook because he did the.
Right. Maybe it's Shnaim Shasua or something. You should be able to collect.
The guy, at the end of the day, smashed it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's a non trivial assertion, right? The Shani's Mamish Putter. Right. So it's one thing to say the first guy's Kayiv, but what exactly is the Putter of the Shani grounded in? So Isaac's saying, well, maybe it's he's not the cause given the first person's maisa. Another way of looking at it is that he is a mazik, but the value already depreciated from its full value to zero from the throwing.
Is that really true, though? If it was like a $10 million object, then you could take an option out to...
We'll see. The Ramban's going to run with this idea. But I think you're right. So when we get to the Ramban, we'll challenge it there. But I think you're right. You could definitely call that into question. But the Ramban asserts it. I think something in between those two suggestions is to say, like we suggested in the Safsal case, that if the Mechayev really is the Pshia, so then once the first guy is Poshea Klape the Kli, and there's no more room for a second person to Poshea against it as well. Because it's already considered to be subjected to like the maximum degree of risk that will destroy it. So when you have a Kli that's already about to be destroyed, is there any additional wrongdoing by somebody exposing it to further risk of harm? And the answer arguably is no, because the thing is already exposed to such a degree of risk that it's going to be destroyed.
Wait, why is that different than the causation analysis? Like, isn't that just like...
making it's a way of persistifying the preempted causation?
I would have thought so. No, it's not like the idea of like, why would it focus on the Shia and the Chaya?
Yeah, I think it's very close to it. Except that you could have said there are two mechayivim, right? There's a pshia mechayiv and a physical cause mechayiv, and each is sufficient to make you liable. Right? And there's no reason why a pshia mechayiv should black out a physical causation mechayiv. And that would be like Jonas Shnayim Shasu, or Kilekele Shalumi Mehai. This idea is saying, no, it sounds more like... in order to be chayiv, there has to be pshia. In order for anyone to be chayiv, there has to be pshia. And the second guy is not poshe at all. Right? So it's less about preemptive causation and more about the fact that his pshia is masked by the first person's actions. Okay. So that's the Rosh's formulation. Let's take a look here also at the Rashba's formulation on Chavav Mebeis. So Harishon Chayev de Basar Meikar as Linan, Bechol Shezarko Mirosh Agag Viroy Lishaver, Harehu Kiilu Nishbar. Also a strong language that it's as if the Kli is already broken from the time that it's thrown off the roof. Okay, so that's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, that we pass in Basar Meikar as Linan, and we see these formulations in the Rishonim, it's Kiilu et Shavar Mishasa Zrika. Now, the problem arises for Rashi's view from the Gemara and Chavav Mabes, which is the makar for Rabba's memra. So you can see here in the first quote in Chavav Mebeis, Amar Rabba Zar Kli Mirosh Agag Bo'achir V'Shav B'Makal Pater My Time Amana Tzvira Tavar. That's the Gemara quotes that verbatim on Yud Zayin Mebeis. Notice again, the Gemara doesn't say anything about the Rishon being Chayiv. The Gemara only mentions that the Sheni is Pater. Gemara gives another case. Amar Rabba Zar Tinok Mirosh Agag. Don't do this at home. Don't do that either. Plukta de Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder v'Rabbanan. Detanya. Hikahu asara b'nei adam ba'asara maklos. Bein b'bas achas, bein b'zeh achar zeh. Kulam p'turin. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder omer, b'zeh achar zeh, achron chai b'nei shakiri misasa. So this machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder and the Rabbanan we encountered earlier in the first paragraph. Now that's just a machlokas if multiple people contribute to Hariga, so the Chachamim think they're all pater because no one killed a kol nefesh, right? No one was decisively responsible for the entire death. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder disagrees. He thinks so long the last person's liable because he can clearly be pointed to as somebody who killed part of an nefesh. And so long as you kill part of an nefesh, that's sufficient to hold you liable for Hariga. That's the Chokas Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder and the Rabbana. Now, how does that relate to the case? So you throw the tinok off the gag, and someone else swings a sword at it on the ground. So it's structurally analogous to our case of the Zara Kli Mirosh Agag. So who's Chayiv here, according to the Gemara?
The sword guy.
Yeah, so the Gemara is saying, according to the Chachamim, no one's Chayiv. Because the Chachamim think if there are multiple contributors to a Hariga, you're all Pater. But the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder, it sounds like the sword swinger, right, is Chayiv. So is that a problem or is that okay? Is that good for the Gemara and Yud Zayin?
It's not good for Rashi.
It's It's not good according to Rashi, right? Because it sounds like the achron is chayiv. So it sounds like basar levasof azlinan, basar tviras mana.
Alright, we're willing to project the extra second of Cleve's life, or not willing to project. We're willing to project this, the
Cleve's
death a second earlier, but not a person's life a second earlier.
So you think there's some chilek between Hariga and Mominus? That's what you're suggesting? Well, notice Rabba didn't really say Basar Meikar Azlinan. Tarashi's interpretation of how Rabba is used on Yedzayin and Aveis.
It's very good that I alter for breaking it, the second guy. The fact of the case, the second guy's potter for breaking it in the Zarakli case. But
yeah.
The Zaratino case, it's my focus of being in the
moment. Okay. Hold off in a second. We'll get to this in a second. So you're saying just from the cases themselves, it sounds like there's got to be a fundamental chiluk. Is that your point?
It's fundamental, but there's a chiluk going on.
Yeah. But the question is that chiluk still sustain Rashi's psaka basar meikar azlinan? Rabban's going to argue no. But the Chorin, depending Rashi, will argue yes. So, but yeah, on the face of it, it certainly it poses a problem for Rashi's position. Does everybody see that? Yeah? As Shlomo pointed out.
Which part of Rashi?
The fact that he takes the Gemara as passing, he takes Rabba as passing, Basar Meikar Azlinan. The Rabban's going to argue more forcefully that if it's Basar Meikar Azlinan, then the first guy should be Chayiv.
In the second case.
In the second case. And even if you don't want to say the first guy should be chayev, the second guy should not be able to be chayev because the first person is considered to be the rotzeach of the nefesh. Right? So Basar Meikara should preclude pinning liability on the second guy. That's going to be the Ramban's argument. Then the Gemara gives us another case. So Bas Shor V'Kibla B'Karnov. So somebody throws a tinok off the roof and then it lands on the horn of a shor. So plukta Rabbi Shmuel b'nosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruga v'Rabbanan. So the Gemara says this depends on the machlokas of whether kofar is evaluated kidmei mazik or kidmei nizak. Okay, so that's a machlokas that appears in the Gemara. The explanation for it seems to be right: is kofar about the loss of the nizak's life, or is it a requirement of kapara from the mazik that he has to redeem himself? He really should be chayav misa, but if he pays kofar nafsho, then he could get out of it. Right, that's the kofar chakira. So here, the Gemara says, Tanya v'nasan pidyon nafsho d'mei nizak, v'shmal b'nosh v'yochanan ben Bruga amar d'mei mazik. So how does this machlokas tie into the case? On which side would you be chayav and who would be chayav? So Rashi tells us that if you hold that kofar is d'mei mazik, then you'll pay. Then the second guy will pay kofar. Aval rabbanan d'shayminan b'nizak hai lo havalei damim u'pater. What's Rashi saying? Manatvira tavar, right? If you hold d'mei mazik, so the mazik's value doesn't depreciate by the tinok flying off the roof. But if you hold d'mei nizak, then there's no tashlumin to pay because the tinok's already worth nothing when he's flying through the air. See that? So if you hold d'mei mazik, then the second guy will pay kofar. If you hold d'mei nizak, so then b'shas hamisa, there's no value to the tinok. So you're off the hook. So again, it sounds like it's only the second guy who is going to pay. So the Ramban argues that those last two cases of Ritzicha are inconsistent with Rashi's interpretation of Basar Meikar Azlina. This is the Ramban in the Machamos on Yidalef from Rebez and Dabi Arif. He quotes Rashi, and he says Rashi's wrong. And he makes the following ara. V'yesh derech acheres v'pirish zu ha-shmua ba'atzma v'hu she'nefarish v'nomar d'rabba basar basof azil. Rabba really paskins Basar asof, basar mana tvira tavar azlinan. Basar tviras mana azlinan. Okay? And the Gemara's point is that we should learn from Rabba and the Suffolk about Tsuros. We could prove basar levasof azlinan. And what's the proof? Mida amar Rabba, ba acher v'shiru b'makol pater, v'lo amar harishon chayiv. He says the raya is the fact that Rabba didn't say that the Rishon is chayiv. Okay. Which implies, the Ramban thinks that it's such a strong omission that it clearly implies that the Rishon's got to be pater. The Isolka daitach basar meikara azil havle lemeimar harishon chayiv. So what's the Ramban's point? The Ramban thinks we hold basar levasof azlinan, but nevertheless, the achron is pater. Why should he be pater? Jonah? Desheni afilu azlis basar basof pater, kivan shesof olihishaver ve'ein lo damim achshav. Why? That's right, the kli is not worth anything. So Ramban says, the Gemara is bringing Rabba to prove basar l'masof azlinan, and that turns out l'maskana that both the Zorik and the Meshaber are pater. Why is the Zorik pater? Because basar l'masof azlinan. He didn't do anything wrong. We follow the physical cause, right? The person who actually broke it. Why is the physical cause or pater? Because the thing was worthless, b'shasa nezek.
Why is physically causing something to lose all its value, not...
Oh, so we're going to get to that. Good, that's part of the issue. It's part of the issue here, exactly. But does everybody see what the Ramban's doing? So notice there's a different conceptual basis for the Patur of the Sheni than for the Patur of the Rishon. The Patur of the Rishon is, the Rishon's Pater because he didn't do any Nezek. Right, we want the physical cause. The Sheni is Pater, not because he didn't do any Nezek, he did do Nezek, he's a Mazik, but there's just no value to his Nezek. Right, he's high of the amount of $0. Ein lo damim achshav. It has the nezek has no worth.
You're making it valueless, right? So he's playing both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
His definition of nezek would be making something go from its value to zero with.
And Isaac's saying, right? Isaac's saying, why don't we make the first guy,
right,
chayiv then, right? If he made it go from $100 to $0. And the Ramban saying, but no, he's just a gorim. He's not even a gorim. He's a grumma or something, right? But the second guy, why can't we be mechayiv him? We can't be mechayiv him because the kli is worthless b'shasa nezek. That's the Ramban's move. Okay. But again, he keeps reiterating, "I basar meikara rishon lechayiv ledivrei kulam." He says, "Were we to paskin basar meikara, the first guy should be chayiv," and the Gemara never says that. That's ikar chasam and asefer according to Rashi's reading. Then the Ramban turns to the Gemara on Chavav Beis, Chavzayinim and Aleph, and he proves Basar Levasof Azlinan. So, V'od Amar Rabba L'Inyan Kofer, Plukta D'Rabbi Shmuel B'Nosh Rabbi Yochanan Ben V'Rabbanan, V'i Amris D'Basar Meikar Azlinan, Hainami Kimeis Dami, V'Hech Mishalim Kofer. Why should you ever pay Kofer if we paskin Basar Meikar Azlinan? Afilu Rabbi Shmuel, why should the second guy ever pay? Afilu Rabbi Shmuel, damar d'mei mazik, hari gavra k'tila ligamri katil. He killed somebody who was already dead. He was a dead person who was thrown off a roof. So by force of the same argument of basar mei karaz lina, the sheni should be patil ligamri. Is that a good proof, or... Hazorek hargul is that the person who threw it off the roof is considered to be the rotzeach. Well, yeah, but he's saying if what we care about is the basar meikar azlinan, so then the second guy who swung the sword at the child killed something that's already dead, right?
Yeah,
that's the Ramban's argument. And so he thinks the Gemara on Chav Zayin is inconsistent with holding Basar Meikar Azlinan.
It's not a response from the larger Ramban, but just with regards to this proof, it'd be pretty easy to say, like, Kufra being Kapara.
Is different.
It's different. It's not actually taking the life versus, like, being a cause.
Yeah, okay, good. We'll see. Some Achron Maga try to give that answer. That's in line with Isaac's point earlier that maybe it's the difference between Ritzicha and Dine Mamanis.
Yeah.
Because the Ramban's best rise from Chav Zayin are Ritzicha examples. Let me just point out that the Ramban at the end of his piece in the Melchamos, he says, "V'yafal gav diikal meimar shelo patru ledivrei omer d'mei nizak el mishim debasar meikar azlinan leinyan mamona." Omihu ketala shayni. Rambam said, look, maybe you'll distinguish between mamonis and nefashos. So it seems like the Rambam entertains the suggestion that you're putting forth. Right? You might say that the reason why the Rishon is pater, sorry, the reason why the Shani is pater is because Basar Meikara Leinyan Mamonis, but with respect to Ritzicha, we won't say Basar Meikara Leinyan. Rambam just rejects that without explaining why. He says, Ein Adas Moda Baza. Says the logic doesn't seem to sustain that distinction. And then Rambam concludes, and here's another just formulation of why the Rishon is Pater. So he thinks the Rif might agree with him. He says, V'im das Rabbeinu zal, kipirish hazeh, yafe pasak. If the Rif paskin like me, then it's a good psak. Debasar besof azlinan. We paskin basar tfiras mana. Umishum hachi Pater hazorek. Why is the first guy Pater? Isaac, why? Dafilu grama lek ashare lo shavro. Right? The first guy is not even considered to be a grama. Because he mamash didn't do anything. Right? He's not the cause of the nezek. So the Ramban's point here is twofold. A, the first guy's pater because he didn't do any maisa nezek. So that assumes that maisa nezek is not about poshea kimazek, it's about the physical cause. And secondly, the second person's pater for the different reason that there's no value to the kli that he broke. Good. Ramban's main proofs are twofold as well. The first is that it's Iker Chasim and Asefer on Yud Zayin and Beis for the Gemara to be paskening Basar Meikar Azlinan when the Gemara didn't say that the Rishon's Chayiv. The Gemara just had the Sheni's Pater. And secondly, it seems inconsistent with the Gemara on Chavav Chav Zayin from the Ritzicha cases. Okay? Notice in Kuntras Dina de Garmi, the Ramban makes a similar point that's consistent with his analysis in the Mochamos. So notice that this little first paragraph here. So again, the Ramban explains the Patur of the Rishon how.
It's really more Iker Chasim and Asefer for the Ramban.
Sheni Pater.
Yeah.
Because it really should be Sheni Chayiv. Sheni Chayiv, but there's no value to the Nezek.
Yeah, I'm saying he explains why Sheni's Pater, but like it's even more complicated for him that the Gemara doesn't explain why the Sheni is Pater.
Yeah.
Tension with the fact
that
Basel
Vasov Azlinan,
which he thinks the Gemara
is trying to prove. Right. So should imply that there's a Chiv of the Sheni.
Right.
Because there's some technical issue that Ein Lo Damim or something. Right?
Okay. And there's some Psak Halacha Rabba that like the second guy is Pater.
Yeah.
I think
that's true. Also, and the Ramban's also going to have some conceptual difficulties, right? I mean, as you were pointing out, why is the Rishon not Chayiv for causing the diminution in value? Right. So if maybe it's nezek. It's not about physically destroying the kli, but the difference in value to a kli that's off the cliff and on the cliff.
Right.
But notice here in Kunjusdin de Garmi, the Ramban makes a similar point. So in Mochamos, he said afilu gramaleka. That's why the first guy's pater. In Dina de Garmi, he says derisho and holo asa nizka machmasei klal. Right, the nezek didn't stem from the Rishon's actions. So you see, the Ramban's at least in this analysis, he's a huge physical causation guy. Right, the Rishon halo asa nizkamach masei klal. Then he says v'sheni nama mana tvira tavar. The second guy's pater because it had no value, right? But then he says like this: v'imi shum shegaram shelo yischayev lo harishon haynu tomein be'esh de pater. He says, well, maybe we should make the second guy chayev for almost being mazik shibudo shel haniza, because but for his swinging the bat and destroying the kli, the Nizak would have been able to sue the Zorek for the damages that would have been caused by him. See that? So the Ramban's not asking Isaac's question yet. He's not asking, why not be Mechayev the Rishon for the diminution in value? The Ramban's saying, why not be Mechayev the Sheni, the Mishaber, for depriving the Nizak of his ability to collect Nezek from the Zorek? See that? The Ramban's answer is that the second guy, we only hold you liable for being mazik shibudo if there's already a chiv in place. Here there's no chiv. The sheni is just preventing a chiv from ever occurring. And he thinks it's analogous to a case of Kofef komaso shel chavera, fire is coming towards somebody's rishus, and he goes up toward tamon, you're not chayv an ish for something that's covered. So if a third party covers a person's tvua, so it prevents the nizak from being compensated, claiming damage to the mazik, so he thinks it's analogous. That's only a chibi de shemayin, pata b'dini adam. See that? Now, later in Dina de Garmi, the Ramban explains the Ptur of Tomin Be'esh, and he says, Kivan Sha Dayin lo neschayv lo hamad le klum, ein ze gorim lo hefsin mamono mamish. Shari lo neschayv lo klum. That's really the difference between Mazik Shibudo Shel Chavero, where the Nizak's already entitled to compensation, and you destroy his ability to collect that. There you could be held liable, but in our case, he's not yet entitled to anything, and you just prevented him from becoming entitled. So there's no basis for liability. This is the Ramban's analysis. I think here it sounds a little forced, no? I mean, what's your sense of the Ramban? So here, Isaac, I'm mechavin to your question over here.
So then it's part, when you said it's part of the issue,
you
meant there was enough
parentheses. No, you'll see it is a part of the issue in some of the, we'll see actually a discussion later on. So, all right. Does everybody see the machlokas between the Ramban and Rashi? Okay. And again, I think the best explanation for the machlokas is that for Rashi, it boils down to the pshia. First person did an action which was sufficient to cause nezek, so he's the wrongdoer. According to the Ramban, you've seen his formulation throughout. It's all about who was goreim lehefsid mamon. Sorry, who was asa nizka machmase, which is like physical cause of the Nezek, and who was Gorim the Nezek. Those are his formulations in Kunjustina the Garmi and Lachamos, respectively. Okay, so let me just point out that there's a third Shita here. Not Rashi. Rashi passing the Basar Meikara, the Ramban passing the Basar Lebasof. There's the Shita of the Ravid, quoted in the Rashba. The Ramban thinks the Ravid is saying the same thing that he's saying. So here's the Ravid's formulation. So anybody want to read it? Avala Ravid Pirish Shishneim Paturim. This is in the Rashban Chavav Mebes. Jonah, take it away.
Ravid Zal Pirish Shishneim Paturim. Sharisham Pater Shabal Pisha Amduhu Vishaver Shema Lohaya Nishpar. Havalik Amduhu Lamisa Bechaya Shum Pater. Shini Nami Pater Kimacha Amduhu Lamisa Amrinan Mana Tavira Tapar.
Yeah. So the Ravid here says they're both Pater, so it's structurally similar to the Ramban's Psa.
Right.
But it sounds like a different reason. Right? The Ramban said that the first person is pater because he lost on nezek machmaseh, and he's not the physical cause. The Ravid saying the reason why the first person is pater is shemeloi nishbar.
Right, that's what I was saying. Now.
Right, that probability thing. Right, that there's always a chance that it may not break. And then why is the second guy pater according to the Ravid? So remember, for the Ramban, the second guy is pater because the kli has no value. And the Ravid saying, no, it's like once the probabilities are such that it was projected that the kli would break, so you broke something that was already broken. So it sounds like the Ravid, it sounds almost like a kind of Moti Mechaveh Olav Haraya kind of issue for the Ravid. The first guy can get out by the claim of Shem Elohi Anishbar. And the second guy can get out based off the claim Shema Haya Nishbar. Right, that's how it seems to work for the Ravid. The Ramban thinks the Ravid is saying the same. He appeals to the Ravid as saying his pshat. You can see here in Dina de Garmi, for example, he says, "V'chein shemati v'shem Rav Ravram Bar David." Unless he's just saying that with respect to the psak, that's named Marpaturim, not for the reasons for the psak. That's a possibility. But I'll call upon him. I think the Ravid is a different shita from the Ramban. What do you make of the Ravid's position? Liad, how do you analyze it? Sounds like a little bit of a tarta de safi to me.
Yeah,
it's like,
can't play both sides of the game.
Right? That sounds, as I said, it's almost like a Motzim Mechaber El Varaya thing, where they're both just exploiting the Amdu Lamisa thing for their advantage.
Seems like it, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it seems like it's a rule in terms of like procedural stuff.
Yeah. It's like one guy could hide behind the fact that I'm due lamisa, and the other guy could say, well, it's not vaday lamisa, or it wasn't vaday get a break. Yeah, so it's interesting. Shita from the Ravid. So it's really a third shita, I think, where it sounds like he thinks in principle basar may karaz linan. But in terms of, if like I'm dual amis, then he should be chayiv. But like the fact that Shem Eloi and Nishbar is sufficient, as like a sufficient defense for the first guy. But if it was vaday lamisa or vaday lashvir, then the first person alone would be chayiv. I think that's, I think the rabbi would have to be committed to that.
Do we know what he passes about the darsa de hinma case?
No, we don't have his comment on it. Just, we just have it through this Rashba over here. Okay. So, those are the three shitas in terms of interpreting the Gemara. So, I want to take a look at this point that Isaac raised for a second. Why not be mechayev the first person for the reduction in value? So, I actually don't have a good answer to that. But let's take a look at these three makoros over here. That at least seem to take a stand on maybe it depends on how much the depreciation in value was caused by his throwing. So, like Isaac, you mentioned like the options possibility, right? Like how much is the option to buy it worth while it's in the air? So there's Diak in the Rambam. The Rambam Chovel Amazik Zayin Yud Beis when he quotes this din of Zorei Kli Mirosha Gag La'aretz Lo Yatachta Kelim. So the Rambam just throws in that he was shover a kli that was going to break miyad bevadai. So bevadai you could understand, right? Bevadai is coming to exclude the Ravid's loophole about Oshem Eloi and Ishbar. But what about Miyad? Like, why the fact that it was going to break right away? Now, the Rambam's clearly paskening what? Who's he paskening? Like Rashi or the Ramban or the Ravid? Yeah, it's clearly Rashi, right? Basar Meikar Azlinan. So, Piskei Choshen here quotes in a Tshuvas Arivash. And the question in the Rivash. So the old Ratzah Haram, this is the Rivash in Simin Taf Kuf Vav. So it's an interesting case about somebody who broke someone's roof that was already quite dilapidated. So the question was, how much does he have to pay? Does he have to pay the value for like a new roof, or does he just have to pay the value of a dilapidated roof? So the Rivash, well, we saw this case partially in the Sugya of Safsal. Maybe we saw in the Tashlumin Azikin case, actually. How much do you pay for damages? So the Piskei Choshen here quotes the Rivash. The Rivash then quotes the Rambam. She'im haya efshar lamod yomo yomayim, if the dilapidated roof would stand for another day or two, afal pishel of a sof hazman yishaver, bevadei chayev l'shalem al kolpanim kishivoi kli haroi lamod yomo yomayim. I think the Rush holds something similar. So the point is, you don't say mana tevira tavar in that case. You don't say the roof's already destroyed because it's going to fall apart in a day or two. You say, no. Pay the difference in value of what you destroyed, right? So how much would somebody pay to have a dilapidated roof that would stand over their head for a day or two? Right, that's the value of your nezek. So you don't say mana tevira tavar is an all or nothing thing. It was going to break, so you're a putter. No, we say that you're chayev for how much you accelerated the breaking. Okay, and you can see the Piskei Choshen quotes this later on in Parak Yud Simen Chaf Beis. Hamazik chefet she'enu yachal lamod od zman harbei. I think that's eminently reasonable, right? So in seconds, we didn't get to the application yet to our sugya. Yeah, the diak, right, the diak from that ram is that it's miyad, right? Meaning you're only putter if it's going to break right away. But if it has a lifespan of another day or two, then you pay the value of the day or two lifespan. So I thought this is applicable to our sugya. So it seems, according to the Ramban's whole point is that the second guy is putter because he was mazik a kli that had no value, right? But if Isaac's right that there's some value, there's some option value to the kli, maybe like based off the chances that it may survive, then it sounds like based off this principle of the Rivash that we wouldn't say mana tavira tavar, or at least that the Ptura mana tavira tavar is only with respect to the depreciation of the asset caused by the first actor. So if the throwing, let's say, caused it to depreciate 80%, then the breaker is liable for the other 20% of the nezek. I think that follows very nicely from this idea of the Rivash. It still doesn't help us for why the thrower is not liable for causing that amount of depreciation. Right, Isaac? That we still don't have an answer to. But at least this would say that the swinger would be liable up to the destruction not caused by the thrower. So I don't know, then you have a good explanation for why the Zorek wouldn't be higher for the depreciation in value, according to the Ramban? See, the Chaznish is very unhappy about that. I mean, look here. The Chaznish thinks it leads the Ramban into a reductio ad absurdum. And here's his cute thought experiment. Says the Chaznish in Yud Aleph, Yud Gimel. So the Ramban's idea seems to be that the thrower is not liable because he's not even a Gorim. He's not the cause of the Nezek. And the swinger is not liable because he's already valueless. So the Chaznish says, well, suppose the swinger and the thrower are the same person. Right? First he throws it off the roof, and then he later swings it. He runs down the steps and he swings a bat at it. So should he also become Pater because his first Maisa wasn't the cause of the Nezek, and by the time he did his second Maisa, he destroyed a Kli that had no value? It's a nice little thought experiment, right?
I'm convinced.
What?
I'm convinced.
Yeah. So he says the Ramban's got to be wrong. And in fact, he thinks the Ramban's wrong that the Kli loses its value when it's thrown off the cliff. And look what he says. Look at this underlying section. He says the Kli is considered to be bar damim contra the Ramban, kiven de efshar l'tvoa damav min hazorik. He says, even if the market value of the kli depreciates by virtue of being thrown off the cliff, the fact that the nizak typically has recourse to sue the mazik for damages, had it broken by the mazik's throw, that means it still has value with respect to the nizak. Its value is just that he can still recover the value of it from the mazik, even if its general market value has been depreciated. Right, so look at this. Umikri bar damim kiven de efshar l'tvo adam av min hazorek. It has value through like the tort system. And then again, kiven de harishon chay ben iske kli adayin shem kli ale v'shem bailam ale. Since the thrower would be liable if it hit the ground, so the kli has value with respect to that limited interest in being able to collect damages caused to it by a mazik. As the Ramban's scenario seems to say, oh, the moment it's thrown off the cliff, the kli is valueless. And the Chazan is saying that's clearly not true. It still has the value that you could recover in a court of law for nezek imposed on it. I think it's a nice analysis by the Chazanish.
I'm wondering if this principle
brings us back to Hezek Shem Nicker. I mean, the Ramban, that's how
you
try to answer that.
Right, it's not Nicker, just the...
Yeah, okay, fine, it's two values, but like if we took away the context of the flying Kli, it would just say, hey, like this is a vase, like what would you pay for it? The answer would be $20. It's like, okay, for $20.
Right.
Oh, it's flying for the air and not the floor. It's
can't see that.
Nothing.
Right. So Shai Liz, when somebody sees the... Here's what Jonah's saying. Jonah's saying the Ramban will say that the person who threw the Kli off the roof, it's Hezek Shem Nicker.
Right.
Until
it hits the ground.
Well, until it hits the ground. Though. Until it hits the ground, right. So Shiloh, when you see the flying Kli, how much do you think it's worth at that? Like, do you see it, do you look at it in the air and say, oh, it has no value while it's flying? Right? Or do you say, oh, it's chaval that really valuable thing is about to lose its value? Right? That's like the Kliyim place where you see the stuff growing into the Tvua. That's Hezek Nicker. But no, I think you're right. I mean, maybe that's part of the machlokas. Maybe that's part of the issue with the Ramban, whether this is considered to be bona fide Nezek or not. Ramban says it's not bona fide Nezek,
right.
And maybe these other poskim would disagree. Okay. So that's the first part of the Ramban's. That's the Ramban's attack on Rashi. Now, the second part of the Ramban's attack on Rashi is his argument from Chavav Amabes Chav Zayin, that in the Ritzicha cases, it seems like we say Basar Levasof Azlinan, because the Gemara talks about on one side, according to Yehuda ben Beseira, and according to Kofar Demei Mazik, the second actor would be liable to pay. And the Ramban says, if we held Basar Meikar Azlinan, then the second guy should be totally Pater, because the first guy is considered to be the Rotzeach. So the Achronim here tried to defend Rashi, so let's take a look at two suggestions for Rashi. The first comes from Shimon Shkap in Bava Kama Simon Chav Dalet. The second comes from the Avin Azel in Nizkei Mamon Beis Yadalet. So here's Rav Shimon Shkap. And it's quite convoluted in good Rav Shimon fashion. So he wants to say that Rashi's position of Basar Meikar Azlinan is consistent with holding the second guy liable in the Ritzicha cases. So how does he do that? So the first thing he does is says, oh, when we say that Basar Meikar Azlinan because of Sofali Shaver, and Rashi says it's Chashiv Kishaver Kvar, in a Kavana Shekvar Nishbar Legamri. They're saying the simple pshat in Basar Meikar Azlinan is that the Kli is already broken. He said, no, that can't be the pshat. It means, and look what he says, Dizerachok Min Hadas Lomar Dimash Sofali Shaver Acher Shah Kvar Nishbar B'Shah Mukdemes. He says, look, it's a little irrational to say, or it's unreasonable to say, that because the Kli is going to break in 20 minutes, it's broken now. That sound like a good argument?
No.
Well?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I could see this. This doesn't sound too Rachok Min Hadas, right? I mean... Whether the future exists. Saying if you're a Rabag person, then it's Rachok Min Hadas.
Also, especially when it comes to causality, things like time delays are important. That's not like a trivial thing.
It's not that big difference.
What?
It's not that big difference. A few seconds.
Could be.
Right.
Be thrown off the CN tower or whatever.
It depends how long it will take. Right? Achar Shah, does it mean a moment? Does it mean some time? But, I don't know. I mean, I think I can see as a legal principle, if you do the thing that will cause the Nezek, then with respect to liability, it makes sense to say that the results are built into the action, right? You did an action that was sufficient to cause the harm, so you're the Mazek. Shimon doesn't like that. So instead he gets into this crazy idea that, again, I think is convoluted. And he says, Ela dechashiv kemosha nital me'achshav chiyuso mizman shel achar shah. So you're taking away, right now, its future life.
It's like
a delayed abortion or something, right? Because he thinks it's not that you did something now. It's not that the action now, which will cause future effects, suggests that the effects happen now.
It's like having a kid.
Well?
It's like having a kid. So take away the future life in that
from the?
From the kid. By creating it, you took away your future life.
Take away your own future life?
No, so you took away the kid's future life, and now it's going to die at some point.
At some point.
Something gonna worse, no.
El dechashik kamosha nito. You're doing an action right now. It's going to take away its life, its later life.
Isn't that saying what you just said though? Like you just like isn't the point like you just like set in motion the thing that's going to cause it to be destroyed?
Yeah.
Like isn't he just making like a very simple point that it's not like actually destroyed right now, but you've done everything that's going to cause it to be destroyed.
Could be that's what he's saying. Let's see if that's the point he's trying to make. Hainu, the ein bazechius, raks man ze ad shas shvira. Meaning you're limiting his time span. Right?
Could he just be like
a
usage rights?
I don't know. I think chius means like its lifespan, like its expected, its life expectancy. Yeah. The Igar Achidosh Bechlal Zeh, the Basar Meikara Shalom Nachshav Hashvira Shalachar Kach Keinin Mechudash, Ela Kikvar Haya. See, Isaac? I think the important idea here is that when it breaks later, we don't say, oh, it broke later. We say, oh, it's as if the breaking already happened. Right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Look at that phrase. What?
Why is that inconsistent with that main point? That, like, you said everything in motion, but it's not that we like look at it as if it's already like actually destroyed.
Right, but when it breaks, we'll say, oh yeah, the breaking already was, I guess, took place, or it was already set in motion by this earlier event.
Yeah.
Aval iefshar lomar shechashvinon degam zman ashvira hayameikara. Ulfize, beadam shenizrak min agag. Afshekvar nital chiyusa mishas hazrika, aval adayin yesh bo chiyus ad shas hamisa. So you're in this some sort of twilight middle ground, where if a person is thrown off a roof, so then we view it as if the action that kills him happened mishas hazrika. So nital chiyusa mishas hazrika. He's made a dead man from the time that he was tossed off the roof. But he's still alive until he's actually dead. Now, his point here is that when it comes to Ritzicha, insofar as you're still alive, the Zorei can't be held liable.
I mean, you could only be fired for a Tzipa if you do, like,
Shlita on the guy? He sounds like it. Right, the Binun Shiyake Kol Nefesh. Shelo Yishar Mimaisa Badim HaNerag Shum Chiyas.
Even if no one else touched him, the guy who was falling, the first guy was still with him.
Does he want to say that?
No.
So you're Zorei to Tinok Mirosh Agag, so you're Pater because unless he thinks, then you're responsible for the impact also. If you're the sole actor. But if there's another actor, then the first guy can't be held liable because there's still nefesh left.
And you're able to split up your own Meister Tzichas? Like with the first guy?
So you did a Meister Tzicha that wasn't Make Kol Nefesh.
Right.
So you can't be held liable. Only the second guy could be held liable. It sounds like I'd be liable because I was Makai Kol Nefesh in that case.
But when you pushed him off, he had Shum Chiyus left.
But I think then the impact is attributable to me also. So the impact is part of my Makai Kol Nefesh. Whereas if there's somebody with a Saif on the bottom, then the swinging of the blade is not my Maisa, and the blade swinger is the Makai Kol Nefesh. So it sounds to me like what he's trying to say here is that there's something special about Ritzicha, which blocks us from being Mechai of the Rishon because of some technicality of Misa having to be decisive. Like, it has to be, you have to issue the last blow in order to be liable for Ritzicha. Whereas for Shviras Kalim, it's sufficient that you do a Maisa that will later cause the Nezek. I think that's what he's getting at. You do a Maisa that's Notel Chiyuso Me'achshav to go into effect later. But in the case of Ritzicha, there's no such thing as being liable for Notel Chiyuso Me'achshav, because you can only be liable under Ritzicha for Make Kol Nefesh. Shelo Yishar Mimaisa Badamanerag Shum Chiyus. Does that make sense?
A lot of sense.
Well?
Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense?
Yeah,
okay.
Isn't this just like reinforcing like the thing we like said right at the beginning? That it's like, if I'm like a Poshe Akimazic perspective on Ezekiel, like it works very well.
Yeah, very good. So we're saying there's no such thing as Poshe Akimazic really when it comes to Ritzicha. Right? Poshe Akimazic is unique to liability in Nezek. Right? That's what you're liable for in Ezekiel. But not with Ritzicha. For Ritzicha, we're more interested in you're actually being the cause and fact of the death. Good? Jonah? Sounds reasonable? Shlomi? Liad?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, Shimon's good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think this is formulation about the Nota Chiyuso Me'achshav and all that, I think it's a little unnecessarily convoluted. But now, the Ebn Ozel makes a similar point with an interesting variation. And he basically says that there's a chiluk between Mominus and Nefashos, not in the way that the Shimon Shkak put it. And he says, this is actually kind of interesting, because he's reading this into Rashi. So he says, the reason why when Rashi says, Basar Meikar Azlinan, it's not really in my sense of reading Rashi that it's a Poshea Kemazik idea. It's that Rashi really agrees with Ramban's principle that the second guy's putter is because there's no value to the Chepetz. The first guy destroyed all the value. So he says, look, Nuchal L'chalik Ba'ofen Acher, Demadar minan mana tvira tavar, valzinan basar meikara, hainadul inyan chashivus, look at this, avad hakli chashivuso, v'chashvinan lei, kimoshe kvar nishbar, kivan shebevade sofali shaver. So here's Jonah's Hezrik Shenoniker point. No, Rashi thinks that basar meikara zinan means that once the kli goes over the cliff's edge, then it's considered a davar avod and it loses its value. Okay? V'lochein, l'inyan mamon d'boi din chashivus shel mamon aminon d'avar chashivuso. When it comes to mamonis, how do we determine nezek? We determine nezek based off what the kli is evaluated at. Right? So it makes sense that we'll project its future loss into its present value. Because when it comes to Nizkei Mamon, what we care about is how people conceive the value of this object. And the moment it's off the cliff, it's conceived of as no longer being a Davar Chashuv. V'zeh davka l'inyan din Mamon. Aval l'inyan din Misa, kiven shal kolpanim befo'al chayhu, lo nucha liftar ha-horgo mi-misa, b'shvil she'en lo chashiva shel chay. It's a very interesting idea, right? He's saying, in Dine Mamanis, we evaluate Kalim based on their chashivas. The moment it's in the air, it's no longer considered to be chashiv, so the Nezek went into effect. When it comes to Ritzicha, we don't evaluate the worth of human life based on its chashivas. It's evaluated based off the fact that it's alive. And so, we'll never say Basar Meikar Azlinan when it comes to Ritzicha. Because there's no liability until the thing is actually dead. And that's why the guy with the sayif is liable, because he's the one who did the action that destroyed the chiyus. Whereas the zorek didn't destroy the chiyus, he just destroyed the chashivos of the chai. Interesting idea. So both the Reb Isser Zalman and the Ebn Ozel and the Reb Shimon are distinguishing between Mamanus and Nefashos, but really for different reasons. Reb Shimon thinks it has to do with more of a din of ma'acheyake kol nefesh, like a pradin hukas ritzicha. Whereas Mamanus is more about, you could say, Moshe Akimazek. The Ebn Ezel thinks it's just about how do we evaluate the worth of something? So for Dine Mamanis, we project its future value because that's how people in general determine Chashivos. For Dine Nefashos, it's not about projected value, it's about whether it has Chiyos right now. Does everybody see that? So those are two ways of defending Rashi from the Ramban's criticisms. And they both open up this important distinction between Mamanis and Nefashos. So let me just point out what both of these shitos seem to get at is that although the Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin paints the concept of basar me'ikar azlinan with a very wide brush, right? The Gemara says that, look, basar me'ikar azlinan, basar basof azlinan. You know, do we follow the beginning, do we follow the end? Right? And you might say that's a very broad question, right? Maybe it depends on the kind of nezek, maybe it depends on the category of Shulchan Aruch. Is it a Ritzicha case? Is it a nezek case? So the Gemara seems to think this is a very general principle of whether it's basar me'ikar azlinan, right? Remember, the Gemara even tried to prove from a Rabba's case to the case of chatzi nezek tzuros. But these achronim, defending Rashi from the Ramban, seem to be suggesting that it's not an all or nothing question, right? It sounds like some areas will be basar me'ikar azlinan, like standard nezikin, but ritzicha cases might be basar levasof azlinan. Because it really depends on the area of halacha. So I want to point out that there's another case where the Gemara seems, or at least where the Rishonim want to apply this question of basar me'ikar basar levasof azlinan. So did anybody get a chance to see Shimon Kibetz on Yedayim Abeis? According to the Rav Akbar of Meir. So the Gemara had this question, basar me'ikar basar levasof. And he says, so Hikshu Rivak Barameir, Amai lo pshitale mihai darminam perek hazorek, says the Gemara in Gittin, about someone who zorek a get over his wife's rishus, over her chatzer. So normally we say, you know, kluta kamisha hun chadamya, that's sufficient. So the Gemara there says, well, if there's a fire that's burning on the bottom of her chatzer, and the get flies over the chatzer and gets burned up before it hits the ground, so we don't say that she's miskareshes, which implies what? Basar me'ikar azlinan or basar levasof azlinan. So he thinks that implies basar me'ikar azlinan because it's me'ikara l'sreifa ka'azil. Alma basar me'ikar azlinan. Since from the Bishas Zrika it was projected to land in the fire, so that should prove that Basar Meikar is Linan. That's his question. So he said, why doesn't the Gemara bring a raya from the Gittin case? Why does the Gemara only bring a raya from Rabba's case? So I just thought the answer is quite obvious. What do you think? Yeah. I think the answer is quite obvious, that we're asking a local question in Hilchos Nezikin. Right? We just want to know about, within the Mechayev of Nezikin, is it a kind of Poshe HaKemazik liability, or is it cause in fact liability for being the physical cause? And that's what the Gemara is getting at with Basar Meikar Azlinan and Basar Levasof Azlinan. To try to appeal to some principle of what's considered a hanacha and the rishus of the isha for gittin is totally irrelevant. The Gemara is not asking a general metaphysical question, you know, is halacha front-loaded or back-loaded? Right? And then okay, so we could see in this random case in gittin that it's front-loaded. But that's just it's not relevant to the Gemara's analysis. The Gemara is asking a specific question about the basis of liability in Hilchos Nezikin. I just think it's almost like a silly question from the Shinu Kabetzes here. So. But that's consistent with the analysis of the Evan Ozel and the Rav Shimon Shkup, that even within Nezikin, we're going to distinguish between Basar Meikar and Basar Vasov in different cases. Okay, so do you guys want to talk about the Tosos issue very briefly? Should we spend 5 minutes on Tosos about the Zori Kli versus the Zori Chetz that's threatening the Kli?
Sure.
So just spend 5 minutes on it, and then we'll be done with this whole sugya, and we can move on to your test with the sugya of Nene. So, okay, so that's really just the, so far, that's the main, those are the main issues in Vasa Mekar, Vasa Vasa Vaslina. So, you'll recall, so now I want to say just a few words about this, Tosis' distinction between Zori Chetz and Zori Kli. So Tosfos on Yedayin Mabeis thought that this principle of mana tefira tavar basar meikar azlinan only applies when you're zorik the kli itself off the roof. But if you're threatening the kli with a gun, shooting a bullet at it, or zorik a chetz at it, then this principle doesn't apply. Everybody remember this from our earlier analysis? That's Tosfos on Yedayin. Tosfos said svara pshuta hi lachalik bein zorik evan lezorik kli asma, but Tosfos doesn't flesh out what the svara pshuta is. The Ktzos in Siman Shin Sadi Aleph, which we saw, quotes a whole slew of Rishonim who he thinks disagree with Tosfos. Right, he thinks that they apply this principle of Manat Tfirat Havar even in the case of Zorik Chetz. That was implied by the Marbe B'Chavila Sugya on Daf Yud. He thinks it's implied by the Nemuke Yosef's famous Shita about Isha Misham Chitzav, that Nemuke Yosef thinks that the all the consequences of the fire are built into the initial Maisa Hadlaka, that's Esha Mishum Chitza. That sound familiar to you? The
fire, Shabbos.
The Shabbos problem, how can you light your candles on Erev Shabbos if Esha Mishum Chitza? Then it's as if you're lighting a fire on Shabbos. And he goes, no, it's as if all that fire was actually burnt before Shabbos. Right? So as well, you see implicitly from that Mukhe Yosef that we say mana tvira tavar basar meikar azlinan even with esh, even with chetzav, right? As if all the consequences happened already. He thinks it's implied also in a comment of the Rush. And so he thinks it's not. He thinks that Tosus's distinction is actually disputed by a lot of Rishonim. But I want to just try to flesh out a little bit. I just want to make two small points. The first is, what reason is there for Tosus's distinction? And just second of all, I want to point out that maybe there's grounds to distinguish between different kinds of cases. About what, meaning whether Tosis is right or not will depend on the cases it's being applied to. So the Meiri on Chavav quotes Tosos, and he seems to accept the distinction. And he says, Shahare harishon lo asa klum b'kli ba'atzmo, aval hazorek esa kli chayev harishon. So again, he points out that he thinks what's underlying Tosis' distinction is about whether you did an action with the kli itself, or you did an action with something other than the kli. It's not so clear why that itself should make a difference. And the Bach also thinks that, you know, this is really what Tosis is getting at. It's about, did you act on the kli, or did you act on something other than the kli?
Now, do you have any of you have a good suggestion as to why that really makes a difference, acting on the kli versus acting on something other than the kli?
Really have anything. There's this very interesting idea. So the Eloi Mimeched, the Meched or Eloi, I think he gave Shir here, no?
Shir.
Oh, Shir here, right? Talmud Reb Chaim. So in his Chidushim in Simen Mem Ches, he has an interesting idea. He thinks when a Kli itself is falling, so people evaluate it as it's not worth anything anymore. It's already gone. Because you can't use it anymore. It's like in the air. No one has access to it. But if there's just like a laser on it and like a heat-seeking missile is going to come from, you know, somewhere else to destroy it, you still could get hishtamshus out of it until it's blown to bits. So just in terms of like, is this thing already destroyed? If it's in the air and no one has access to it, then yeah, for all intents and purposes, it's gone. But if there's just like a laser dot on it that, you know, means a missile's about to blow it up, then it still is perfectly usable and people could derive benefit from it. So in that case, we won't say Basar Meikar Azlinan. So it's just like this mitzias stick a question about whether people could still get hana on access.
But don't we see from Treifa that that's not how we measure these things?
Don't we say in?
Don't we see from Treifa that's not usually how we measure these things?
It's just a projection about what's the...
Because like Treifa's a clear-cut case of...
It's going to die.
It's going to die, but for the moment it could be fully healthy, even, like fully functional.
Right.
And nonetheless, if you make something a Treifa, like...
Yeah.
You're responsible.
I mean, because you're setting the stages for as the...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Treva's too complicated, because it's not really clear if they also assume that it's sick, and that, like, it's...
I'd say, like, it might just be that every case of Treva and Mara is, like, deathbed animal or person.
Or that's what they think it is. They think it's like, you know, it's surely gonna die, and it's like...
It's dying now.
Also, what?
It's dying now.
It's dying now, right?
It's not that's like a modern... Like,
someone's our resident shochet.
Yeah, yeah. And doctor. It's not like a modern medical idea that someone can, like, be totally fine, but know they're gonna... Not totally fine, but can be functioning and know they'll die in, like, in a few months.
Right. Right. They think. I think they always think that, like, a trefa itself is, like, it's sickly.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just that it doesn't have a lot long lifespan.
Another reason the trefa has nothing to do with the Zeus.
Right. Right. I don't know what the... not a Yoridea. And if I was going to learn Chula next year, then maybe I would know.
If you're going to learn Chula next year, then you'd learn the Chosher Mishma questions.
That's right. Sveksveika, and Holchen Momon Acharuv, Chazakos, Cheskas Momon. So, but I think it's an interesting idea from the Ilei Mimeitch, right? I think it's kind of clever. I thought at one point that maybe the Meiri's idea about whether Asa Klum B'Kli Atzmo is like a sheer in wrongdoing. Maybe it's like a greater rights violation to, like, actually trespass by taking the kli than to just threaten the kli from afar with an arrow.
So and come back to the Meitzer's point?
No, I think the Meitzer's point is just, like, market value is different. Market value for a kli that's in the air is zero, but market value for a kli with crosshairs on it is still something.
Right, but that meaning you were saying it's like a shear in that. In a rights violation, but why is it a greater rights violation?
Oh, because I'm taking something that's not mine.
And I'm moving on.
Right. Right. It's almost right. It's like the wrongdoing is greater when. So if you want to know Basar Meikara Zina, my Pshia Kimazik, so like my wrongdoing is greater when I actually trespass and, you know, wrongfully take the Kli and destroy it than when, like, I shoot an arrow at it.
Oh.
I'm not sure if that's true. I mean, I don't know if. I think there's a svara to be. I think you can make the argument that it's more wrong to, like, physically take someone's kli and destroy it,
right,
than to threaten it from afar with an arrow.
I was going to argue that the reason is because of the nature of his point. I have even less usage of it now because it's flying through the air.
You're saying the mazik has less usage.
The nizak. Less use out of.
Oh,
the
that's why it's greater wrongdoing. You're saying that deprived. Right. I wasn't saying that. I was saying, like, which is more of like a. Which is more of like a trespass.
Right.
Like an illicit taking. It's wrong. It's wronger to, like, go in there with your hands, take an object you're not entitled to touch, and destroy it than it is to shoot an arrow at it. But I don't know if that's true. I mean, if it's at risk exposure, maybe it shouldn't matter. But I don't know. I thought maybe that would explain the chiluk between lo asa klum b'chli atzmo, because it's like more egregious to take the kli. I mean, it can't be what Tosas was saying, because Tosas is a svar pshuta. What I'm saying is not a svar pshuta. Yeah, it's more forced of a distinction. So,
you could also say that if, let's say, there was like five cleaves there, then, like, you know, and it happens to hit the cheapest one or the arrow, so
yeah,
it's not necessarily the lowest risk.
In which case, in an arrow case,
yeah, in an arrow case, you could say that a person taking or choosing, or
yeah, there's more.
One,
that's already like
more
a right. That's like a probability thing already. Yeah, so good. That's what the Knesset HaGedola says. So if you look here in this Pesachei Choshen, he quotes the Knesset HaGedola. So Yesh Tmo B'Divrei Knesset HaGedola Shemefarish Svaras Atosus Lechalik Bein Zorek Kli LeZorek Chetz Shebezorek Chetz Lo Have Psik Reisha Sheyishtaber. So just like the Metzias wise, like you're saying, it's like, you know, people aren't as good with their target practice, so it's not a Psik Reisha when you shoot the Kli, but when you're Mazik with your hands, it's more of a Psik Reisha. So that's like a third way of explaining what Tosus has in mind. But I think the Pesach Choshen here is right. That's a bit of a pella. Dim kain gam bezorek kli gufa yashal l'chali kain. The real distinction should be about whether or not it's a psik resha or not. Right? How sure is the result given the action? It's not really about chetz versus kli. It's really just about the probabilities of the consequence. And then again, he has that. I mean, the kasvish yeshar pshuta l'chali k'mashar shlo zeh achila. That's the holy grail here. It's not just trying to offer a distinction. It's trying to offer a distinction that's as far as pshuta. Like that was Tosas. Tosas says that, right, it was like, as far as pshuta hilachalik bin zorek evan the zorek kliatzma. That's like the interpretive question becomes all the more difficult. Right, Isaac?
Yeah,
The interpretive question of Tosas is all the more difficult because it says, Asfar pshuta l'chalek bin zorei kli l'zorei gaven. That's the... Okay, but those are, I think those are three possible distinctions. The Knesset Gdol about probabilities, the Meitzter about whether you still get ishtamshus out of it, and my suggestion, maybe it's more egregious, it's more of a pshia when you do it with your yadayim. It's more of a trespass than when you just shoot a chetz from afar. Now, let me just close with the second point I wanted to make within Tosos, which is that maybe Tosos's distinction depends somewhat on the conditions of the Nezek. So maybe whether we distinguish between Kli and the Chefetz depends in part, like the Knesset Gdola was saying, about how closely related the Chetz is to the Maisa Nezek. So here's what I have in mind. So the Rashash on Daf Yud Zayin based says he was asked an interesting Shaila. Mikan heshavti l'asher nidrashti mechacham echad im shavar ish echad kli shel chavero v'yacha kach nafla deleka rachmana litzlan v'oso bayis asher bo haya kli v'nisraf kol asher b'socho b'ein matzil im chayev hamazik l'shalem o d'matz o dilma matzil l'meymar o d'matzil l'meymar. Sof, im lo shavartiv, haya nisraf. It's a good taina, right? See what happened? This guy was mazik someone's chefetz. But then the guy's house burnt down. The nizak's house burnt down. And he wanted to pater himself from paying. He's saying, look, even if I wouldn't have caused the nizak, it would have burnt down with the rest of your kalim in the house. So what do you think?
Is the fire already lit?
Oh. Not. No, it seems not. For sure not. Yeah, for sure not.
So like,
yeah, okay, Shkut,
that's nice, but like...
He's saying maybe Manat Tavar, right? It's the...
Oh,
so he says, B'divir HaTosa Shulafanina Muchach Shechayev Mikal V'chomer. And he's saying from Tosos, who says that in a regular Chetz case, the Shover would still be Chayev, and Kol Shekein V'Kal V'chomer here, where there's no Chetz yet. Right, Tosos is saying that the Shover should be Chayev even when a chetz is already threatening the kli. Rashash says, Kol shekein v'kal v'chomer, that he should be chayev when there's no chetz threatening it yet, and a chetz is only going to destroy it later. Because remember, the fire isn't burning b'shas ha-nezek. So I said, Kal v'chomer b'nafla ha-deleka achar kach, d'v'shash ha-shavar lo ha-yadayin muchan ha-mazek t'chayev. But then, he says, Amnam, in this last point here, Im kvar nafla deleka ba'oso chotzer, ulai dome la mashakasav al kidma deleka leget lo. So here he actually wants to appeal to that get case and say, maybe if a fire is already burning in the home, then the mazik should be potter. Which is kind of interesting because on Tosis' svara, you'd say that he would be chayiv. Because Tosos' whole point is that we don't say manetzvira tava when it comes to a chetz. The Rashash seems to disagree here. The Rashash seems to say that maybe if there's a fire already burning, then it is sufficient to establish manetzvira tava. So the question is, why does he think this is different from Tosos? What? I think he's just not willing to go all in with Tosos.
Isn't when it's being thrown, no?
Yeah, it's thrown, and it's never going to land. It's going to burn into the fire.
Right, but
that's different from this case.
Kind of like a land, just kind of like land. Meaning, it's like the equivalent to smashing.
I don't know.
Meaning for a get.
Well, the Gemara there is saying that there never is going to be a Kabbalah because it's projected to burn. It's a little different from this case. This case is a case where the kli is there.
Right.
You actually destroyed it. It's just going to be burnt in a few seconds. So, I mean, I think you could distinguish between just a chetz that would destroy the kli, mm-hmm. and then like a whole fire that's burning down the house where maybe the probabilities are greater, or it's considered to be more destroyed just based off the threat of the fire. So my point here is, I think that they're
probably not usable because it has its node right down
by the Magister Svara. Yeah. So my point is that it's not, even within Tosos, it may not be a hard rule between Zorei Kakli versus Zorei Chetz. Maybe it really depends on the proximity of the Chetz, how many Chetzim there are. And maybe even within Tosos, you'd acknowledge that there are cases where we would say Manatvira Tavar when it comes to the Chetzim. So that's the second R I wanted to make within Tosos. Okay, Badkan, that's what I wanted to cover for the Basar Mi Kara Shaila and Manatvira Tavar. Shkoyach.